want you to know that I'm having a wonderful time. I love preaching to receptive people. Not everybody is receptive. It's amazing. I know there's places, and sometimes it's like preaching to a wall. But it's nice when people just soak the word in, and that's lovely. And that's the reward that I look for. And so you folks are, yeah, you like to soak the word up. Praise God. Turn with me to Psalm 119. We'll read it all. No, we won't. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. What is it, 176 verses, something like that. Okay, we're going to read from verse 105. And you know, a lot of you will know this verse off by heart. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 2 years ago, I went to the UK on a visit. And I'm not a technically minded person at all. I've got a phone and mobile phone, but I'm always asking people for help because I press the wrong thing or do something. So I don't have a technical kind of a mind. But I got into Heathrow and hired a car, and I've got to go up to Northampton. And I've never been there before, a little village called Helledon, where I was staying with a friend. I'd never been there before. And I'd heard about the nav man, I thought, I'll hire one. And you know what I'm talking about, the nav man, that thing that shows you. What's the other name for nav man? What is it? Yes. So you put them in your car, and they tell you where to go. Simple as that. I'll be simple as that. So I get the car, and it's stuck on there, and you're supposed to type in where you want to go. So I typed in where I want to go. And this just amazes me. This voice started to talk to me. Lovely English lady's voice. Proceed down the road. And now, I sort of knew where north, south, and east, and west was. And I knew if I'm going to Northampton, you'd think you've got to go north. So she's actually directing me, I know, in the opposite direction. Why have I done wrong? So I pulled over, retyped it in again, still told me to carry on. And what she was doing was taking me to a road that takes me directly where I needed to go. So I had to go south and round and onto that road. She knew what she was doing. I've never met her. I haven't got a clue where she comes from. But for a whole month, I drove right up to Yorkshire. I drove right down to Devon. I drove all over the place. And this woman told me everywhere to go. And I think, this is incredible. How does she know all these roads? She knows exactly when to get off the motorways, when to get... It was one incredible thing. I still haven't worked it out. Now, I know, okay, it's got something to do with the satellites. I understand that waves are bouncing off satellites, all that. But do you know how many roads there are in England? Thousands and thousands. And immediately, and another thing, she knows when you go wrong. Because I'm one of these people that when you're following instructions, you miss the turn off. And then she tells you, proceed down and then turn this way. She knows when you've taken the wrong turn. And you know the other thing? She never gets angry. She's got this calm voice that just keeps speaking to you over and over again. And do you understand what I'm talking about here? How many's got these satellite things? Hands up. Who's used them? Hands up. Put your hands up. Okay, a lot of you have. Because I want to know, say, you know, she's such a... And then they tell me, you can get different voices. You can get Arnold Schwarzenegger on a voice. You get different Americans, Germans, French, Russians, whatever. I just happen to get this lovely English voice talking to me. Maybe because I was in England, I don't know. She took me right to where the village was, right to where the street was, and I stopped outside the house. Isn't that incredible? I think, how is this thing done? See, to my finite mind,
I don't understand it. I can't. I'm still trying to work out when you switch that thing off, what is scrambling? What is happening? The speed of light that's from these satellites. And some of you look at. Don't I know I'm not technical? Don't look at me as if you're so. You're, look at this idiot talking. Now, it's like this. You do, and you could probably explain it to me in 5 minutes. I still wouldn't understand it. It is. It is. And if you were to go back 50 years and tell somebody that you've got something like this, they'd burn you at the stake. You're a witch. You know, so how on earth could you have? Wouldn't they? You know what I'm saying? Our technology is so evolved that she calmly tells you where to go. When you miss a turning, she calmly redirects you to the right place. I learned I had to do something. Trust her. Because I was sure on some occasions she was leading me the wrong way. I said to my wife, this isn't it. I know a quicker way than this, I thought. This is not the way. And a couple of times I actually turned off to try and find and got lost. So get back on. And do you know, I had to learn, I have to trust this voice. Never seen her. Don't know who she is. Don't know how she can know all she knows. It just absolutely baffles me. But I can only get to where I want to go if I trust that voice. And I remember driving along thinking, whoa, I wish I had something like this in life that told me everywhere to go, who to marry, what job to get. What house to live in? What bank to bank with? You know, it's something that just tells you. Well, life is so much simpler. If you got up in the morning, put this little thing on, and it tells you exactly what to do. I was talking like this just to my wife. And suddenly I felt the Lord say to me, don't be stupid. You've already got something. And I went, I've already got something. And the Lord says, you've got my word. My word is a lamp to your feet, a light unto your path. And I thought, yeah. You know, the Bible is an absolute fascinating book. It's withstood the test of time. Do you know, the Bible, over a period of time, has been the most despised book in the world. It's been burned, been trying to get rid of it. It's been outlawed over the history. They've done everything they can to get rid of the Bible. It's such an offensive book to many people. I was talking to an evolutionist the other day, and he was talking, he's sitting there and said, what do you believe? I said, I believe in Adam and Eve. And he looked at me as if I was that big. You idiot, he said. You believe in what? I said, I believe in Adam and Eve. I believe in the Bible. I said, I believe from Genesis to Revelation that the Bible is true. In this generation. He says, and he was quite astounded. He says, what? In the 21st century, I'm talking to somebody in Australia, a so-called educated man that actually believes the Bible. I said, there's a lot more than me that believe the Bible, let me tell you. And I said to him, do you know what the best-selling book in the world is? It's the Bible. Today, the best-selling book in the world is the Bible. No other book comes anywhere near it. And yet it's been outlawed, it's been burned, it's been tried, people have tried their hardest just to belittle it and take it out of the hands of people. Our education system doesn't pay much attention to it. Politics particularly don't pay much attention to it. And yet, it is still the most read book in the world. I'll tell you something else because there's a lot of Chinese people here. I'll tell you something else that's really good. We used to have to smuggle Bibles into China for years. The Chinese Bible, the Bible was banned in China. And if you were found with a Bible, you could be in big, big trouble. You could even end up in prison in some circumstances. So it was a banned book. And Christians would smuggle it in under all sorts of pretense to get Bibles in there. Do you know, I saw this program on Channel 7 just a couple of years ago. And it was not... It did not come from a Christian perspective, so it was not put on by a church. It was Channel 7 investigating what they discovered in China. That China today prints Bibles.
They print more Bibles than any other country in the world. Do you know why? Because they found out that the Bible is the best-selling book and you can make money out of it. It's actually in all languages. Their printing presses are working 24/7. You can buy a Bible, a good Bible, for $5 in China. So don't bother smuggling it. It's not worth the prison sentence when they can buy them themselves in China. How many of you know God's got a wonderful sense of humor? We're talking about the most so-called atheistic, communistic country in the world. No, it's not communistic, is it? It's more imperialistic than what we are. But anyway, it claims to be communistic. And atheistic, printing the Word of God. I think God got a wonderful sense of humor. I think he has. Come on. I think God has a good laugh at us sometimes. And that they, because it's a best-selling book. People love to read the Bible. People live by the Bible. People let their lives be shaped by the Bible. Because the Bible is our nav man. It's that that tells us where to go, how to live, and what pleases God. To put it in a nutshell, the Bible teaches who God is, who our enemy is, and who we are. To put it in a nutshell, that's really what it's telling us. So, my advice to you, and most of you already know it, but some of you don't, I'm giving you another key. The best key of all, God's Word. Now, we'd like to hear that little voice. I have never actually heard the audible voice of God speak to me. Never heard it. I get impressions. Now, I know some people who have heard the audible voice of God. I remember once when I was taking a big youth camp down in Melbourne, in Portsea. We were about 350 teenagers at this camp. It's the age went from about 15 up to 25, 27. And we had a marvelous, marvelous time in God. And one night the meeting has finished late, and we all went to our little chalets. But some of the young people stayed behind just to continue to worship God. This is a story that they told me. And one young guy was there, I had a word for him the next day. But this blonde-haired guy, good-looking guy, and he was a landscape gardener. And they were talking amongst themselves and worshipping God. And all of a sudden, some angels appeared. And they said, keep singing. Keep praising God. Keep worshipping God. Why have they stopped? So they started to worship God again. And then this young man looked behind him. And at the door, the entrance of the door, he saw a figure standing there. And he said it was Jesus. And he went down and he had a word with Jesus. And Jesus told him things about his life and what he wanted him to do. He came back and told these people. There were probably about 15 young people that were there. He told them. They didn't see Jesus. He saw him. He went down and he talked with him, came back and told them. Now, I knew nothing of this. I was asleep. Next morning, we get up and we have a meeting like this. And then as I'm preaching, the word of prophecy comes over me. And this young man, I said, I've got a word for you. And I started to speak a word for him that I felt God was giving me. As I spoke, young people started to cry out. Cry. I mean, literally crying. And apparently, what I said to him was exactly the same as what he had said to these young people of what Jesus told him. So they knew that he'd spoken to Jesus. He'd had an actual encounter with Jesus and heard the words of Jesus. Now, I have never, ever had the audible voice of Jesus speak to me, ever. I have an impression. I remember once when I hadn't been saved long, you know, when you get first saved, you do some silly things, don't you? And you know, you're not sure because you don't know the Bible very well. I remember went into the bathroom one day, I got on my knees, I was praying, I said, oh, Jesus, I'd love to see you. Love to see you. I knew hardly anything of the Bible. And all of a sudden, my eyes were closed. There was this incredible, beautiful scent, smell. And I've never, ever smelled anything like it. And I can, when I think about it like now, I can still sense the smell of it. And I knew that Jesus was in the bathroom. I mean, I'm talking about physically, I'm talking about literally. And
as I've opened my eyes, I've seen. Oh, the odd job. I'll be frightened. You know, I was only young, a teenager. You understand that? And I said, Lord, when I open my eyes, don't be there. And I opened my eyes and he wasn't. But that aroma has stayed with me. I've been all over and smelled all kinds of perfumes and scents. Never smelled anything as sweet and as beautiful as that. That was the closest I got to seeing him. And I put him off. And since then, that's never happened. So I've never heard the actual audible voice of God. Maybe some of you have. I don't know. Most of us don't. So this girl talking to me through this man, that was very audible, you know, very direct. I've never heard God talk like that audibly. But when I read this book, I know he's talking to me. He is talking literally to me through his word. The Bible is God's word, not man's, written by man, but God writing through them. He did it. I was once preaching a sermon on joy. And I was preaching that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I was telling this church I was in that they could have joy 24/7. And after the meeting finished, the pastor came to me and says, thanks for that. I said, what? He says, you've given me a real problem, haven't you? I said, what do you mean I've given you a problem? He says, you told my congregation they can be happy and joyful 24/7. He says, come on, John. I've got to mop that mess up. And I said, hang on a minute. I was quoting Philippians chapter 4 that says, Paul said it, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. So I said to him, I don't think your problem's with me. I think it's with the Apostle Paul. Because I'm just quoting him. I said, oh, wait a minute, hang on. As I understand it, these men who wrote the scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. So your problem is not with me or with Paul, it's with the Holy Spirit. Go and have a go with him. Because that's what the Bible says. Rejoice in the Lord, not now and again. Not just on a Sunday morning. Not just when you have a good dinner. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. That's the word of God. It always has God speaking to us. But if we don't take that literally, if we don't take that, oh, that's not God, we're in trouble. When you're given a direction from the nav man, you do it. You take that direction, otherwise you get lost. You do what the voice tells you to do. I believe Christians should do what the Bible tells them to do. How old-fashioned is that? How outdated is that? How outmoded is that? That this preacher should say to you what the Bible says you should do. But your word is a lamp, the Bible says, to my feet, a light unto my path. That saying, by the way, comes from, in the olden times, shepherds. At night time, when shepherds sometimes used to have to try to plot out the land, they'd leave the sheep safe and that they'd got to go and just see where he's going to lead the sheep. And it's dark and he could fall in a pothole or something like that. So they had a kind of light fitted onto the shoe. It was an oil light and it was on their right foot. So when he put his foot forward, it lit the ground up before him. So as he walked, it lit his path, so he wasn't going to trip over something or fall into something. That's where that comes from. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. You need to read the Bible. Today, Christians in the Western world are not reading it like they should. The Bible is not as important as it should be. It was a real joy for me to travel through both Cambodia and through Burma, and then to go to China to see how hungry Christians are for the Word of God. I mean, hungry. When I was in Cambodia about, it must be now about 8 to 9 years ago, I found out by accident, I was preaching to pastors,
And we had paid from Australia for these pastors to come together and to have a week's ministry. And so we paid for their accommodation and their food because they come from the outback, poverty stricken in Cambodia. I mean, poverty stricken back then. And by accident, because we were talking about daily readings, and I was with another guy, and he was saying to them, you know, these will be good if you take these back to your church for daily scripture readings. And I could see some of the pastors going like that. And we were talking to an interpreter. And I thought, I said to him, they've not got what you said. So he said it again. And I could see I thought, something's wrong here. So I said, stop. I said to the interpreter, are you interpreting this correctly? He said, yeah, I'm interpreting it correctly. I said, why are they having problems with this? He says, because most of the people in their churches don't have Bibles. They don't have Bibles. They can't afford a Bible. The cheapest Bible you could get in Cambodia about 10, 11, 12 years ago was $6. $6 is about 3 months' wages back then. They couldn't afford it. So what they would do, if there was a Bible in the church, they would share it around. So daily readings was not on the agenda for them. I thought, wow. So what we did, we came back to Perth, and this was for the Assemblies of God, because I'm an Assembly of God minister, and I raised enough money from our churches, and our church particularly, to buy every family a Bible in the Assemblies of God in Cambodia. So we did that as a project. We bought them all a Bible. And you should have seen the look on their faces as they got hold of their Bible. They felt it was a treasure. It was much better to them than a television. Come on. They treasured that word. That's what they needed. And I see that, and I come back here, and I see how little we read the Word of God. And I just, you read, oh yeah, I read every day. What they mean is, they read a couple of verses before they're eating their toast on their way to work, and that's it. That's not reading your Bible. Now, you've noticed that this week, as I've been speaking, God's used me to speak to people personally. Have you noticed that? Can I just say this to you? If I don't speak to you personally, a word doesn't come, don't get upset with that. Don't get to a place where you're looking for it. If you're looking for a word, go read your Bible. Because that's always a word of God to you. And also, listen to the sermon. I'm speaking to you all. This is a word of God to every one of you. Do you understand that the message I'm speaking now is for you to read your Bibles, to love your Bibles, to cherish your Bibles, to see them as a precious thing that you have, that you can read and hear God every day. That's your nav man. Amen. And I'll tell you something about him. He's very calm. He's very precise. And he's very patient. He doesn't lose his temper with you. He sees you go off track. He says, now, just back up a little bit. Take this turning here, take that turning there, and you're back on track again. That's what the Bible teaches us. Some people spend more time in Facebook than they do in the book. And I'm talking to Christians. And I make no apologies for saying that. I'm not knocking Facebook. I'm not knocking it. People get something out of it. I fail to see what it is. But some people get something out of it. Because Facebook is... I've got this list of friends. Big list. And every week somebody says, I want to be your friend. On Facebook. Every week somebody... So I just confirm. But I think to myself, if they want to be my friend, why don't they ring me? Why don't they talk with me? Have a little conversation. Actually, well, now you're going, John. You know, instead of that, they put stupid things on Facebook like, I caught a number 9 bus today. Took me 20 minutes to get into the city. You know, silly, stupid things that you're not even interested in. Facebook, and it's supposed to be a friendship thing. You know, people now don't mix with friends. They spend their time in the bedroom on Facebook with all these friends that they haven't got a clue what's happening in their lives. And then some people make the stupid mistake of putting personal things on the Facebook that goes out there to everybody. And then they regret it. So I'm just saying, I know. I'm not just saying it to you because I don't know you. So I could say this to your church because I don't know what. But I'm just saying, as a rule, we have traveled. Most people spend more time on Facebook than on the book. Or they both spend most time on magazines or television. and the Bible becomes just a tiny little fraction of their day, or in some cases of their week. Now, can you imagine if I turned the nav man on and said, I want to go to Northampton, put the address in. After 5 minutes, I think, oh, I can't be bothered with it, turn it off. I would never have got there, because I wouldn't know where it was. Just keep driving, enjoy the drive. I'll probably end up in Scotland. I would not have known, but I had to keep it on. And let me just tell you something else about it as well. It got a little bit annoying, because she just keeps talking. Do not take this turn. Do not. You know, she keeps talking. After a while, I think, oh, she shut up. Do you hear what I'm saying? But the reality was, I needed to hear it to make sure I got to my destination properly and safely. And the Bible is God speaking to you to get to your destination safely. Now, let me just tell you something about being saved. As those folks gave their life to Jesus this morning, you now are saved. You may not realize the implications of what has just happened to you, but when you receive Jesus, your names were written in the book of life. And already, right now, is a home being prepared for you in heaven. You are now part of God's family all around the world, the true family of the living God. But you're not in heaven yet, and you might wish you were, like I was talking earlier. I also wish I'd got there quicker. Anyway, but you've got, so we're actually on a journey. So part of it is a journey. But you actually have a destination. But the journey can sometimes get a little bit irksome and tiresome. I remember when we used to set off for Geraldton from Perth. I used to go regular on a holiday to Geraldton with my kids, and then with my grandkids, we used to take them up there. And you know, for the first 20 minutes or so, it's really good. We're going on a holiday. Let's sing some songs, you know. Let's play I Spy with My Little Eye. All these things. So you can spot the most red cars and things. Then after an hour, are we there yet, Pop? I feel sick. I want to go for wee-wees. And they just go on. And all of a sudden, this journey that you set off thing, really wonderful. We're going on a summer holiday. Yes, I wish I've never started off. The journey can really wear you down. Does anybody know what I'm meaning? Come on. And look at all the parents putting their hands up. Yeah, you know, understand what I'm saying. The journey can take its toll. And it can in the Christian life. You're on a journey. And it can take its toll. Because like I said this morning, things happen. Disappointments come. There is a huge difference between being disappointed and being discouraged. God does not mind if you're disappointed. There's no God saying you shouldn't be disappointed. No, he doesn't mind that at all. Because I've got a sneaky suspicion that when God looks at the earth, he's disappointed. I think the Holy Spirit is disappointed. I think Jesus was disappointed over and over again by the wickedness, the sinfulness, the barbaric behavior of men and women, the evil that men do. I think that Jesus became disappointed over and over again. And I think God is disappointed. And I get disappointed. As a pastor, I used to get disappointed with people in the church. I get disappointed with people out of the church. I get disappointed with politics. Who doesn't get disappointed with politics? Come on. We all think, well, the next lot, they're going to do it. And they don't. It goes on and on and on. And they don't. Politics does not have the answer. Let me just tell you. Don't start clicking into politics thinking they've got the answer. Because I'm telling you now, they ain't. If politics had the answer, everything had been sorted about donkeys years ago. Thousands of years ago, it would have been sorted. But they haven't got the answer. Neither do religions. Religions don't have the answer. The world continues to be a mess, full of pain, anguish, suffering. If we had a pair of huge scales, and we could on one side put the pain and the suffering in the world today, and on the other side, put the joy and the peace in the world today. Which do you think would weigh the heaviest? It would be this side, the pain and the suffering. Tonight, hear this. Tonight, over 1 billion people will go to sleep undernourished. 1 billion. Not talking about a million. I can't get a billion in my mind. It's just a figure I can't comprehend. But that came from the World Health Organization. A billion people. A lot of those billion people are children dying of starvation. Mothers will bring their children to their breasts and they've got nothing for them. And they watch them as they die. Do you know there's more food in this world than enough? There's enough food to feed everybody in the world. We throw more food away than what we eat. What sort of a world are we living in when a billion people tonight will go to bed undernourished, dying? What crazy world is this? What has done that? Pride, prejudice, greed, corruption. They've all done those things. That's a sad world in which we live. A crazy world. The world out there, there's something wrong with it. And we need answers. And the answers don't come from politics. And the answers don't come from religion. Because it just seems to increase the pain, the suffering. I mean, I look at Australia. I come from England, but I love Australia. I love Perth. You know, I'm looking outside now. You can't see, but I can see that lovely water out there, the trees, the sky's beginning to get a little bit blue. I think, what a beautiful, beautiful country we have. But tonight, in Perth, there will be thousands of people contemplating suicide. I'm not joking. If people get raped, it hits the newspapers. If people get murdered, it can hit the newspapers. But they never hit the newspapers when it comes to suicide. Suicides are never recorded. There's more suicides taking place than people realize, and attempted suicides, and the age is getting younger and younger. My son, who pastors a church in Gosnells, met with a group of ministers, and one of the ministers had been talking to one of the headmasters in a high school. And the headmaster said, would you get your churches praying against the suicide rate that we're seeing in our schools? Kids of 12 are attempting suicide. I'm not talking in Cambodia or Burma. I'm talking Western Australia. I'm talking about the lucky country. I'm talking about the wealthy country. When you've got a kid of 12 wants to opt out, take his or her life, something is radically wrong with our society. Because young people, they should have that flush of youth and vitality, of exploring an adventure, but a lot of them just want to get rid of their lives. Drugs have taken hold of them, alcohol, or they're with parents that are treating them terrible. What is wrong with this world in which we live? Well, the Bible tells us what's wrong. It's sin. Sin is a disease, sin is a cancer, sin is a sickness that no matter why we try, we just keep doing wrong. We need a Savior. Thank God we've got one. His name is Jesus. His very name means Savior. Every time you say Jesus, you say Savior. I don't like it when people take his name in vain, do you? You know, somebody hits himself with a hammer on the public, oh, Jesus! But then I thought to myself, hang on a minute. That's not too bad, because what are they saying? Savior! Every time somebody says Jesus, they're actually saying Savior. Isn't that good? Another thing that amazes me, why don't they hit the thumb and say Buddha? They don't do that. Or Muhammad? They don't do that. Have you noticed? It's always Jesus. I asked the guy that once. This guy was blaspheming. I said to him, why are you doing that? I said, what? I said, why are you blaspheming the name of Jesus? Oh, why shouldn't I? I said, because you're an idiot. I said, you don't even know what he's like. Oh, I know what the Bible says. I said, you've never read the Bible. I said, don't start coming out with me. I said, if you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read about this man that you're ridiculing now. You just read about him. You'll get a shock at what a wonderful guy he was. How he helped, blessed, nurtured, fed, healed. Did all those wonderful things. They hung him on the cross. And the person who hung him on the cross said, I find nothing wrong with him. You wouldn't have one out. Come on. And the guy who had him crucified, his wife, sent a message to him saying, don't have anything to do with that just man. He said, she said, I've had a dream about him. And then they crucified him. And he said, I can't find anything wrong with him. Sin.
The wickedness in the world, the corruptness in the world is putting this world into a desperate... And I look at this beautiful state of ours, I think, wow, what's the street? I love it. But then I look at the faces of kids and then adults. I see lonely, hurting old people who once were young people, who once had that flush of youth, went into life in an exciting way. They want to suck all the juices out of life. And then life does its bit to them. And I look at old people in nursing homes. I look at their eyes and there's an emptiness, as if to say, what was it all about? Lonely old people. Kids don't care about them. Kids forsaken them. I look at them and I think, oh God. They've lived a life and think, what was that about? That's the world in which you and I live. Hey, we need some direction. We need some guidance. And I'm telling you where you get it from. The Bible. God's word. Word leads us into all truth. I need that. I need the word of God to strengthen me. The Bible tells me how good God is, how great God is, how merciful God is, how loving God is, how courageous God is, how gracious God is. The Bible tells me all this wonderful God that I now know as my Father. And the Bible says about me that you don't let your pride destroy you. Because there's something inside of you. Have you ever seen people play a game of lawn bowls? Have you ever seen them? And they get that ball and they roll it and it doesn't go straight. Have you noticed? Whenever it goes one way or the other, it's because it's got a little thing in it that they call a bias. You can't make it go straight. It goes because it's weighted. Our lives are like that. We may want to go straight. This is going to be a good marriage. My kids are going to be brought up properly. All the intentions are good. I'm going to do well at this job. But there's a bias in our life that we can't go straight. That bias is sin. It pulls us one way or the other. And the devil uses that to torment us and to test us and to tempt us. There's nothing wrong with being disappointed. But don't get discouraged. Job was disappointed, but not discouraged. Do you understand that? He didn't let... Because when you're discouraged, the word discouraged means to lose heart. To lose faith. A discouraged person can't sing. There's no song in their heart. They're discouraged. A discouraged person is no good to themselves, or to people around them, or to God. A discouraged person cannot put into another person's life because there's a discouragement there and they've lost heart, they've lost soul, they've lost faith. And they contemplate suicide. A disappointed person is different. I get disappointed regularly. Do you know what disappointment does to me? It drives me to my knees. I say, God, let's change this thing. Like last night, it helps me want that raw faith. That rises up and says, I'm going to touch him. No matter what this world is saying, I'm going to touch him. Your greatest lessons in life come from this good book. Read it. Can I say this? I don't know you, but I can say it. Only because I know churches in West Australia, some of you hardly pay attention to it. Oh, you've all got a Bible. Some of you even got them on your phones like I have. Or your iPads. But it's not very really looked at. Unless maybe on a Sunday morning when a scripture's being read. What do you think God thinks when he says to you, I've given you my word. I've told you how I want you to live. I've told you the pathway to life. Why don't you read it? Why are you letting your mind be cluttered with all these different diversions that don't go anywhere but lead to heartache and sadness and pain? When my word will lead you with my Holy Spirit into all truth. I love the Bible. Come on. I studied the history of the Bible. There's men and women who died. Men and women who was persecuted to get the Bible in your hands. Hundreds, thousands of men and women died
were burned because they wanted to put a Bible in your hand. They worked hard, and many of them spent life, years in prison, losing everything because they wanted the Bible to be in your hand. And we got it. Do we appreciate it? I hope so. Because if you don't, this is a rap over the knuckles for you from this preacher. Because you've been stupid. Because it's the Bible that speaks to you, and it's God through His Word that speaks to you and to me. God. I don't know why it was that when I got saved at the age of 15, instinctively I knew I'd got to read the Bible. Nobody told me that. My pastor didn't tell me. Usually, I just knew it. I've got to read the Bible. That's why I told you I taught myself to learn to read from reading the Bible. I taught myself the King James Version. That's what we had in those days. But if you notice, often when I quote scriptures to you, I quote in King James. Have you noticed that? This runs really in my brain, and I find it odd to learn scriptures. I read the NIV, but I find it odd to learn scriptures from there. I know the scriptures from back then. I've read them that many times. I knew instinctively I've got to get God's Word in me. And I can honestly say to you that it's God's Word that's led me and guided me. I don't understand it all. There's a lot I don't understand. But I don't throw it away. I keep reading and reading. Say, God, reveal your Word to me. Because your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. I've got my spiritual nap, man.
Hallelujah.
Come on. And I don't go anywhere without it, because I don't carry my Bible around with me all the time now. Because I carry my phone, and I've got my Bible on my phone. So everywhere I go, I take the Word of God with me. It's a precious, precious book. In closing, I want to challenge you. You who are already reading the Word, God bless you. Keep on reading. I pray for inspiration and for revelation as you read that divine Word of God, that the Scriptures take a big priority in your life. But those of you who don't, you listen to me. Are you ready for this? You start to read the Bible like you've never read it before. Start to soak it in. Let it become your whole spirit and soul, like a blotting paper, to soak the God's Word in and to live the Word of God. Amen. Now, you know this weekend I've preached some pretty good sermons. Not been bad, have they? This is the best. I'm telling you the best way for you to get through life the way God wants you to, is to read the Bible. To make it a daily habit. To take God's Word. And I'm not talking about a verse while you're eating a slice of toast and going out the front door to work. I'm not talking. I mean, you take time. You take precious time. Say, God, this is your Word. Give me understanding and revelation. And don't start with the book of Genesis and try to read all the way through. And definitely don't start with the book of Numbers. There are books in the Bible that are easier to read. Start with the Gospels if you're not a big reader of the Bible. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, Mark. You can read the Gospel of Mark in a week, two chapters a day. That's all it takes. Two chapters a day, you'll read it in a week. And in that Gospel of Mark, you will learn about the man that you're following. I play squash. I'm not a very good squash player. I play just to keep myself fit. But if I was serious about squash, do you know what I'd do? I go to the library or to the video store and I get stuff out about squash, how to play, how to hit the stroke. If I was really serious about it, I'd get something that would help me. If I was into the fishing, I'd get books that would help me how to fish. I actually grow bonsai. So for all you Chinese people, I'm a bonsai grower. I have 150 bonsai. And you know what? I've got loads of books about bonsai. So I'm making sure I do the right thing. Because I'm interested in that. Okay. I'm a Christian. I've confessed to you, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Well, what a hypocrite I am. If I'm saying, you're the center of it all. And you never read about him. You don't even find out about him. You don't know who he is or what he did. You haven't got a clue. Because you don't read the Word. The Gospel of Mark will tell you all about Jesus. What a wonderful person he is, and how he loves you and cares for you and came to save you. You read those scriptures and just read those that you understand, and then God will give you the strength to go on to those that you not yet understood. Read the New Testament. Read some of the beautiful Psalms in the book of Proverbs. I was reading Proverbs this morning. That's a bit of an eye-opener when you read some of the Proverbs. And it leads you and guides you and directs you in life. Brothers and sisters, I hope that this isn't bouncing off the ceiling. I hope this is entering into our hearts, because what I'm telling you is what I believe God wants you to do. Read the Bible. We used to sing a song, read the Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read the Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. If you want to grow, she knows it. If you want to grow, read the Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. There you go. That deserves a round of applause. Come to that. I want you just to close your eyes and bow your head. Again, this is a very personal thing, so I don't want anybody looking around, please. But I challenge you to read the Bible. I challenge you. Maybe you used to, but somehow, some way, it's not as important as it used to be. Various things have happened. But, so, let's go back. Let's say, okay, I'm going to start from today to read the Bible again. And to really make it a priority. To seek God in His Word. To find out just who He is. Who Jesus is. Who I am. And who my enemy is. So that in this world, I could spread the good Word of God. That in this world, as I go through this life, knowing that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. Jesus says that we've got to let our good works be seen before men, that they may glorify the Father. Lord, help us. Just drop that desire in our hearts now. As I'm praying for these people here, Lord, drop the desire to read your word more than they did before. I think after a message like this, there needs to be a response, because God is looking at us. And I want you to respond positively. But I don't want you to respond just because I'm asking you. That's hypocrisy. I want you to acknowledge that, God, I've heard your word. I've heard the preacher. And I've got to get down to the Bible. And from today, by your grace, I'm going to do it. If that is in your heart, say, by your grace, because there'll be things that will try to stop you, but by your grace, I'm going to get back into the Word of God. And if you really mean that, with nobody looking around, if you really mean that, because this Word has touched you today, if you really mean it, just raise your hand and I'm going to say a prayer for you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of you. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, that's good. You know, if every one of you now raise your hand, do what you've just said you're going to do before the Lord, read the Word, I'm going to tell you, this church is going to become so much stronger. It really is. You're going to take your direction from God's precious Word. You can't fail. This church has got a great future when people read God's Word. So, Lord, for each person that raised their hand, thank you for them. I pray as they go from this meeting, they will go with that determination to look into your word, to read your word, to soak your word into their lives, that it will become their nav man, that they'll see that in your word is direction and guidance for each one of them. Holy Spirit, you are the one who reveals the word to us. You have said you lead us into all truth, and I pray that everyone who raised their hand will be led by you, Holy Spirit, into truth, and that you will give them revelation and inspiration. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. All right, this afternoon, 2 p.m., we're going to have games. And I've got Brother Dexter and Sister Jane to organize the game. So